often don't realize that we are the key to our own happiness, and that happiness starts with healing and transformation. Whether you need healing, guidance, clarity, understanding, or just some honest sister talk to feel connected, heard, and supported, you are welcome and safe here. So join the conversation and be healed. Welcome to Soul Healing Conversations with your host, Roz Kincaid.
Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Soul Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Roz Kincaid. I'm an intuitive soul healer, spiritual life coach, intuitive, Reiki master, all that good stuff, snatcher of edges, all that. Get yourself together, whatever you want to call it. And today, you all, I have a very, very special episode for you today. I have with me Sean Williams. Sean Williams is a very nurturing soul whom I met recently, and she and I just connected on a soul level, on an energetic level, and she is quenching my thirst right now because she is so, y'all wait, y'all see what I mean. But let me introduce you to Sean properly. Sean is a true child of adventure. She is also an Aquarius, just like my toots. So if y'all have heard me talk about toots. She was born into a blended family. Her father was a U.S. Naval officer, and her loving stepmother opened their arms to her. Growing up in various parts of the United States, from Florida, California, New York, Northern Virginia, Sean always stood out as the tallest in her class, and she is pretty tall, standing next to a 5-foot me, making her feel wonderfully unique. But her journey wasn't without challenges, as nobody's is, right? So in her early years, Sean faced questions about her appearance with people whispering, is that a boy, is that a girl? But she embraced her individuality with her nappy hairstyle by her caring older sister. But unfortunately, when she was 7 years old, she experienced the heartbreaking absence of her biological mother, leaving her yearning for a connection she fully couldn't grasp. So amidst her personal growth through all the pain and the grief, Sean's healing journey took her on a profound path of self-love and forgiveness, embracing her middle name, which she shares with her beloved great-grandmother. It became a symbol of her own empowerment. You know how I feel about empowerment. Driven by her passion for helping others heal their inner child, Sean further expanded her knowledge by studying spiritual life coaching, cognitive behavioral therapy, and counseling for children and adolescents. When Sean isn't empowering others through Reiki, crystal sessions, or life coaching, you can find her cherishing moments with her life partner and her adorable fur baby Luna in the vibrant DMV area. Y'all give it up for Sean Williams. Hi, Sean.
Hello, peace, everyone. Thank you so much for this. Just listening to you read the bio, I'm just like, there's so much more to me, but yep.
Yes. It's always funny when you hear people read about your life or part of your life story is, you know, for those of you listening or watching this on YouTube, it's a very good exercise for you to go back and write your story, write out your timeline. What happened to you? What negative things happened to you? What hurtful things happened to you? What positive things, what blessings came into your life from as far as you can remember up to birth? And just me reading that, listen, Sean, you have had a beautiful life already, and I can't wait for others to hear more about it. But listen, y'all, not only is Sean all of these wonderful things, she is the author, right? She is the author of this amazing book, Finding You, Your Own Uniqueness. Y'all, you're gonna need to get this book. I'm telling you, if you're watching, I know, do not judge this book by the cover, because when you open this joint up, and especially if you like to color and do journal prompts, because I can't give it all away. Look at this. Mindfulness for mental health. You get to do some journaling and some healing, and you get to play. Like, who don't like to color? Right? So, Sean, I want to welcome you once again and thank you for joining me on this episode today. Share with us a little bit more of your journey and how you got to the place that you are today.
Well, first of all, let me say thank you so much. Much gratitude, much love. As my eyes are literally, I have water in them that I'm just trying to keep them contained because the emotion, you know, the emotion of this is my first podcast. This is my first time just ever in this type of environment, just besides just the one-on-one that we've met, which I'm so grateful for having the opportunity of spending time with you, that beautiful energy exchange, but something about just sitting right here right now and just sitting back and just listening. I'm not going to do an ugly cry, but the water is there. So I'm just know that. So again, thank you so much for this space and this energy exchange. Boy, what about me? My life, you know, we all have our own story. And so when you said to write your bio, it was very difficult for me to write my bio because I was worried, one, about, even though it's my story that makes me unique, I always have to be mindful and think about other people when I'm telling my story, that am I going to hurt them if they read my book? And when I mean them, I'm talking about my immediate family. So I had to be mindful of how much I did put in, you know, just that whole dynamic. But ultimately, it's my story. Whether others agree or disagree is my story. So yes, I love to say that I am the Black Brady Bunch family. My father, who is my beloved ancestor, he was in the military. I have three older siblings. Then I have another set of siblings. And then when my father remarried again, I don't like using the word step. I think that is rather harsh. But, you know, now we use the word bonus mom or bonus dad or bonus siblings or things of the nature. But ultimately, my biological mother left. And then around 8 is when my new mother came into story. Nobody explained anything about, hey, I came home from school in the 3rd grade. To my mother not being there. Till this day, I don't know what her voice sounds like. I don't have any memories of her. Now, whether or not I have blocked them all out, I don't know. But till this day, I have no recollection. I have spent numerous times looking for her. Even up to recently this year, I had help with trying to find her, and everything is nothing but a dead end. So all I do as far as when it comes to my biological mother, I just like to call her name out in hopes that the words of my mouth and the vibration to be carried through the frequencies, through the ethers to wherever she is, knowing that I love her. You know, you might not understand why things happen because we're children. We don't understand the dynamics, but apparently it was written in the stars for this to happen is how I look at it, right? If you think about your whole zodiac makeup, if you think about your human design makeup, everything is already written in the stars. So I have to just look at it as that. So I dealt with abandonment issues at a very young age, at the age of 7. You know, again, I did not get any type of therapy, no counseling, nothing. I literally went from seeing older siblings in the house, my biological mother, to then biological mother gone, older siblings have just left the house for whatever reason. Then bam, here comes a new person and her 3 children. So this is how we get the Brady Bunch. Total of 9 altogether.
Wow.
We all didn't grow up in the house together. I think I always said, I really wish that parents would just sit down with their children and just communicate as to what's getting ready to take place versus it being more of you all doing things behind closed doors because you don't know how it's going to affect the overall dynamic, meaning that when we get older, we don't understand. So we hold grudges. We don't want to come around to certain family events or anything like that, right? Even though we're supposed to be family, but that word doesn't always mean that because a lot of it is dealing with your actions and how we feel. So I feel stuck in the middle, being that my older siblings don't come around to the family that I'm in now. I have never spent holidays, if you will, or just vacationing or anything like that with my older siblings. I never was afforded that. And so being at the age that I am now and the age that they are, because we are like between 10 and 9 years gap, it's like I'm yearning for them. They are too, with let's try to find a way to start creating these memories because we can't get those back. So I grew up in the DMV area. My outlet was pretty much for me was running track. And as I think about it, running, and you know, you really don't know why you gravitate towards certain things, but that was like, for me, I think that was just me being able just to run from whatever I was around, right? My father was a great provider. He did a lot of things for me. But thinking about things now at this age, I'm like, I wish he got to know me for me. That parent and child dynamic is different because you're just, you don't know them as a child, as the individual. You just know them as Sean. Well, there's more to life besides Sean. Do you know what I like, what I don't like, what I like to listen to? You know, all these different things versus this is just my child. I can never say that I truly know my dad, right? Mm. I know other people can say that they know him in all these aspects, but as a child, we really don't get to know our parents. My life shifted a lot throughout the course from I've had, and I'm just gonna go ahead and put it out there because it's my story. I have been molested. I have been raped. I've had an abortion in high school. These are things that I've kept privately for so long that a lot of my family members don't know about, but this is my story. And it's time for me to use my throat to speak, to be able to help other people, however fashion that looks like, because the more and more that you sit around and have conversation, you're finding out we all are connected. We all have similar stories. Unfortunately, our parents, they didn't teach us, and it's not to bash or shame our parents, but a lot of times they didn't teach us to, hey, your body is your temple. Nobody should be entering. Nobody should be touching it. It's just things are placed. We're around certain family members or friends and things happen and we keep quiet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so we do ourselves a disservice by being quiet. Or either what I'm finding out with working with clients is that they have confided into an authority figure only to be told, you don't know what you're talking about. That didn't happen. Right. So it's almost like, what do you do? So we hold things in. And for me, you know, I held a lot of things in. I remember one of my older brothers, he was in awe to find, he was like, you never got counseling or anything. You've been through so much in your life. And I was like, no. I asked as a child to go to get help. And I was told no. I always remember that. So when I work with people, I come from a place of, let me help you because help wasn't given to me. Let me take classes that I need to take because I'm here for the collective to help them out. So my life has been nothing but twist and turn. Went off to college, had a beautiful time. I went to an HBCU. So growing up here in the DMV area, you don't see a whole lot of people that look like you. Maybe now you do, but back in the 80s and the 90s, you didn't see a whole lot. So I went to school in the South, and my junior year in college, I had my beautiful daughter, single parent, still single parenting with her, even though she's an adult. But I went from abandonment, you know, all those things. And then when I was only in that short relationship with my daughter's father, anger and rage came about. And the reason why I say that, because I didn't know, you know, we have all of our spiritual gifts, but we don't know what to call. We don't know what they are. Well, some people do, but I didn't. But I can tell you, I had vivid dreams while I was pregnant that my daughter's father was cheating on me.
Ooh.
And we were only together for a year, right? We were only together for a year and a half. We had a beautiful relationship. So I thought, but you hurt me. And I asked you, I had dreams. And you know, you don't think about keeping quiet and building up your evidence until you can present that thing, right? But I mean, that's what we do now.
Yeah, that's what we do. We collect our receipts, honey. And like, listen, exhibit A, I seen you over here.
Yes, but I didn't do that. You know, I just was like, hey, you know, I've had this dream that you're cheating on me. I had this like two or three times. Just like I had dreams that I had a daughter with a head full of hair. The way that I saw her in my dreams is the way that she came. Mm. Sure enough, my name is Sean. It came to pass that he cheated on me. And so I was enraged because I'm like, I am pregnant. My body's going through these things. I have been nothing but good and kind to you and all this stuff. And even till this day, my daughter, she's building her relationship with her dad, and she's doing something that I think everyone should do. Record your parents, you know, like we would do at the elders at your feet to sit down. My daughter is so awesome with the fact that every time she's around her father or I, asking questions, putting it on video so she can have it. And I think that's beautiful. Like asking the questions, like I had to tell her, you were created out of love. It wasn't a one night stand. It wasn't, you know, none of the, but like we really had a relationship. I was angry with him from 1995 when I had my daughter. I stayed in the South to be a mother where I wanted my daughter to have that relationship. So I sacrificed. Didn't make a lot of money, like any of that. But 2008, after 10 years, I was like, enough is enough. Like, if you're not doing your part, what you need to do or anything like that, then we have to leave. So I packed up our belongings and we moved back up to the DMV area. From 2008 until 2016, it was nothing but rage. I sit back and I think about me as a person. I wasn't myself. I wasn't myself for so many reasons, but I think I was just hurt that I am a genuine good person. I have no drama in my life. I have a very peaceful life. But when there's a disrupt that comes in, that does something to you and you're just infuriated. So I was angry for a very long time until 2016. And I was going to church. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. I am a PK kid. But with that being said, I was really going to church, one, for the music. You know, the messages might have been all right or whatever the case may be. But you start having these questions and a lot of things just didn't seem to make sense to me. I just started looking at churches like, okay, if we're supposed to be in the image of God, why do we have all these different denominations? That didn't make sense to me. Why is it segregated from the whites to blacks? It didn't make sense to me. And then it didn't make sense to me that we're going in on Saturday or Sunday for this quick high to go back doing the same thing over again.
It gives you mixed messages about your identity, who you are, where you come from, all of that. Something that you said about being taught that your body is a temple. I connected that with another thing that you said earlier about parents not really telling kids what's going on, right? And so for a lot of Black and brown women specifically, we are shaped by what's being modeled to us and not what's being said. And I can distinctly remember not too long ago, you and I were at someone's house and she told me not to hide my experience from my child. And I think that that's kind of the part of the reason why we have kind of sheltered ourselves or covered ourselves. What did you say earlier? Kind of go along with the crowd and not really venture off and find our own unique self, because through modeling what we've seen, through what we have not been told and kind of had to make up on our own, it shaped our life.
You say it.
Mm-hmm. And so now we're at this point, and I feel like it's all just beautifully orchestrated, even with the abuse and the abandonment. It all works together because now you, generally speaking, you evolve into this being who now you're on a journey, which is what you actually came here for, to find who you are, to find who you really are, to find who you are apart from the modeling, the conditioning, the abandonment, the not fitting in, to sounding ghetto, to being too much of this, to being too much of that. now you're on your purpose. Now you're on the road to your purpose, defining exactly who you are. And when you get there, it's not about a point of destination. It's a point of, I found it. Now I can pick this up and move forward.
I agree with you 100%. That's the whole message within itself. And again, I don't place blame on our parents or the grandparents or anything like that. I understand they were only doing the best that they could at that time. And I feel in this very moment, when we decide to come through on this room, we have our lessons to learn, but we also are to break the cycle. We can't continue it. There are some things that we might continue, but when it comes to the touching of people that we shouldn't be touching or doing things, that was done in our parents' generation and then the generation before that. And it's kept on going and nobody said a word.
Okay, so there's no talking about what is happening in the family. And then we as children, we repeat that and we don't say anything. I know I didn't say anything when it was happening to me.
I know I didn't either, but I know what I did now with my daughter. I tell her everything. I wait for the moment to appear, and then I tell her.
That's key right there. Waiting for the moment to appear. And y'all, this ain't just about parenting. This is about relationship between adults as well. Taking the opportunity to speak, to use your nice throat and your voice as loud or as high pitched or low pitched as it is, and speaking what is true for you. Because listen, y'all, your truth is somebody else's healing. Just like Shawn sitting here sharing her story and how she came to be who Shawn is right now, somebody's getting healed by listening to this, by watching this, because you're speaking. And we don't do that enough in our community because, one, we've been taught, we've been whipped and shamed that you don't tell family business. You don't talk about what goes on. Let me take it all the way back. You don't talk about what goes on this plantation.
What goes on in my house, stay in my house.
Exactly.
Think about it. They go back to even family members that you might have. And you're trying to figure out, well, who's their mom or dad? Because said things happen and other family members end up taking them in and raising them as their own because of something that was done in the house. We're just going to go ahead and take this baby and raise them as our own.
Right.
At some point in time, something has to go off for us to understand we deserve better. Our children deserve better. And this is why you have to do all the work that you can do on your healing wellness journey to end up showing up for a better you.
And with that, what are some things that people can do to use all of that experience to be able to find their uniqueness, find themselves, like your book says, to know more of yourself?
I think first and foremost, being by yourself. A lot of people go from relationship to relationship to relationship because they don't want to be by themselves. They cannot tell you what they like, what turns you on, what turns you off, what you dislike, what you like, the kind of music, what food. It might be an abandonment that they have within inside them. And abandonment can look different. It doesn't have to be the type of abandonment that I had, where a physical person left. You can have your family members right there, your parents right there, but you could feel abandoned because they are not focused on you. So you can feel abandoned. But being alone, being in solitude, meditation, and when we think about meditation and prayer go hand in hand. I say this in my book, meditation isn't always having to be quiet and just be sitting in silence. A lot of people can't do that, right? So meditation for me, a lot of times is in the water, when I'm washing dishes, when I'm in the shower, right? Sometimes, yes, I can meditate even laying down in my bed. You have to do what you feel is best. Don't do what society has said to do. That's why I have a thing about yoga studios. Yoga is supposed to be an intimate relationship with you and your body. When we do the breath work and we're able to go into the next thing, we're not competing and looking at person in front, beside and back of us, being able, can I get into these? Because that's what a lot of people, when you talk about yoga, a lot of people are like, well, I can't do those, because it's supposed to be something for you. Your body will tell you, breathe, and then you can flow into the next thing versus forcing your body to go into that pose. And then you end up injuring yourself. But I would say, first and foremost, you need to spend that alone time and without the distractions from phones, other people, like truly be by yourself. I think that's first and foremost.
I can just remember how difficult it was for me to start my meditation process or journey, right? And even there was a time period between when I was dating, I guess you could say, and when I met my husband, right? That period for me was a time where I thought that I had to busy myself because I couldn't stand to be by myself. And so I was in church nonstop. Like I did what I knew. Like I was raised in church. So when you don't have a man, God is your man. You know what I'm saying? When you don't have anything to do, you do church. And that's what I did, right? And you know, I met my husband through church, but I couldn't sit still. I always had to be doing and going. And even sometimes now, for you, all you human design heads, being a generator can be misconstrued for having to do and be, you know, go all the time. And like you said, for me, it's my meditation time is in the shower. I used to play like Reiki music, but I stopped doing all of that, right? Yes, that helps to facilitate and get me into a deeper state of being and mind. But I learned that, and this was recently when I took our family trip to the Dominican Republic, just being in the water, hearing the music and the flap and lap of the water, ebb and flow and the crash of the waves, that's the only sound that I needed. And so when I came back home, I would only run the shower. Also, I stopped playing music and I could feel my energy start to open up and clarity start to come through in my mind, right? And so I agree with you in that we don't spend enough time by ourselves. And it's funny that you say that because I happened to come across a reel from Iyanla Van Zandt, who was actually grieving the loss of her daughter right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she said, we don't pause. We don't pause. We don't pause from one thing to one thing to one thing, one to integrate, right? To assimilate, to acclimate into from one thing to the next thing. You go from man to man, you go from job to job, you go from meal to meal, you go from meeting to meeting, from phone call to client, to being the mom, to being the wife, to being the daughter, to being the sister, to being all of these things. And we never pause. And we wonder why we got high blood pressure. We wonder why we're depressed. We wonder why we're anxious. We wonder why we can't lose weight. We wonder why we can't gain weight. We wonder why we can't connect. We wonder why our intuition ain't working, even though it's always working.
Yep.
We don't pause. And so you talk about mirroring in your book. And so can you share with us how mirror work can help facilitate that pause that we need in order to connect with ourselves, to connect with our ori, our higher self, or God, or the divine, or whatever y'all want to call it.
So a lot of people don't know what mirror work is, so I'm just going to explain. This is my interpretation of mirror work, which you already kind of do it anyway, but you just didn't know what it was really what you was doing.
Right.
So mirror work, if we think about labels that were placed upon us, whether that's by family members, society, as I stated, part of my bio being called the nappy headed little girl, the awkward girl. I was always the tallest in the classroom. So imagine being tall, skinny, nappy hair, the whole shebang, right? Back in the day, you might have been called bucktooth beaver, you got big eyes, you pigeon-toed, you knock-kneed. These are labels, right? And so a lot of times we then attach to those labels. Then we think this is what we are. I'll never forget, even as an adult, an ex-boyfriend of mine has said, you don't need to wear skinny jeans because you're knock-kneed. That's a complex. Like, seriously. So that stays in your head. You're like, so think about those labels that were placed upon you. The mirror work is for you to detach yourself from those labels by going, looking at yourself in the mirror, as awkward as it might be. Look at yourself. Take off all the makeup, take off the lashes, take off the lipstick, the eyebrow, like be in your absolute rawness and look at yourself in the mirror. When you pause and do that, whatever emotion arises, allow it to arise. So if you feel emotional, allow the emotions to come. If you start laughing, that's a form of nervousness, right? Allow it to happen. But look at yourself in the mirror, in your eyes. And we know that mirrors are also portals. So, you know, be careful doing this as well, not to be fearful. But when you're looking at yourself, now you're going to reaffirm yourself with positive words from out of your voice. You're removing the labels that were placed upon you. So now you come in and you're saying that I am beautiful. I am kind. I am love and loving. You know, what I really intentionally, it's about placing positive words over your entire being that you have. We have been cut down. Society has, especially our brown and black people, we've been called apes, monkeys, telling us to go back to Africa, go back, you know, all these harsh names. So it's that time to detach from that. We are not those things. We are beautiful. We are gods and goddesses, if you want to think about it in that. We are queens. We are kings. We are royalty. And you should hold your head up high and treat yourself as such. And so that's what mirror work is all about. Reclaiming your power back. I don't care what you got, blemishes, you got facial hair, whatever it is you have, embrace that. I mean, we all have it. Just embrace it. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Why are we trying to be something that we're not? And in that time, again, you're spending that time alone. And as I have heard this beautiful saying before, in stillness, I receive. When we are quiet and when we go into meditation and whatever that meditation looks like, you will be amazed all the messages that will start flooding in. People come to us asking, they're needing help for their soul purpose and what we're supposed to. If you pause and be quiet, you will find out what it is.
Yes. And let me further say this. When you take the time to be quiet and still and learn how to let your thoughts just pass you on by, you won't need to call a psychic. And I am. And Sean is one as well. You won't need to ask for us to connect for you to get a message, because you and we will do it. Not because we want your money. That's not why we serve and we do the work that we do and have the gift that we have. We will do it until you can do it on your own. But that's the point. Get to the point where you can do it on your own. Because this same connection that Sean and I have, everybody else have it. And when you take the time to get still and to be still, turn the music off, turn the TV off, turn them notifications off, get off of that TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and Threads and Twitter and all of this shit that's got us captivated to the point where we are in a daze, you'll get your answer. You'll find your clarity. You'll know the direction. You'll know what's right and correct for you. And you won't have to be calling us and paying us your money to say, well, what's the spirit say? Well, I don't know. What did they say to you? Already give you the sign and everything, but yet here you are calling me. Now don't get me wrong. I'm here for the people, because sometimes I feel like I need to go to a psychic, but you have to give yourself an opportunity first to be with yourself, to know your higher self, to know what that connection with your spirit guides and with God himself or itself, whatever you want to refer to it as, is like. Because we can't always be here to do the work for you. And Sean, you and I talked about this before we got on this call. We can't be here to do the work for you, because when we do the work for you, we ultimately reap the results. We're telling you what would, you know, ask me what to do. I mean, I'm going to tell you what spirit says, but but you have to learn how to go to spirit on your own. And that what Sean is saying, y'all, is you have to get quiet and you have to get still. Yes, spirit will speak to you in traffic while you're watching Housewives of Atlanta, all of that stuff. But there's nothing like being still and quiet to receive the full revelation.
Mm-hmm. Because the messages are all around you, like
always.
It's funny how the messages will appear. So, for example, and this might be off topic, but a message can be so simple as you're in your house and you keep hearing a knocking sound. Let's say, for example, bugs that just happen to keep knocking at the window pane. I interpret that is letting me know when I'm working with a client, they've been getting your attention. You've just been so everywhere but present in the moment. We need to be more, and I talk about this in the book, being mindful and being present in the moment. Mindfulness even goes down to when we're eating our food, being mindful what we're consuming, giving thanks to our food. When we're eating food and with community, with family, is what happened to sitting down at the table with no electronic devices, including that TV being on in the background, and just sitting down at the table and having pure conversation. Then we wonder why people are labeled as socially awkward. Because you can't do the basics in home, because this is your foundation. Because when we leave our home and we want to go out to the brunches or go out to these places, you're going to be mimicking the same way that you do at home. So if you're always on that device while you're eating, strolling along, how are you connecting to the food that is going inside of you? Did you give thanks for that food? You don't have to say a blessing if you don't want to, just give thanks, right? Did you give thanks? Are you able to really feel it going through your body? Okay, if you're feeling nauseous and sick while you're eating the food, that's something to think about. We have to be mindful to know that when we're preparing, whether we're preparing the food or the other people preparing the food, is their energy at the highest vibration it needs to be? That's how a lot of times you can kind of realize, oh, I'm sick, besides certain things that you eat. And I'm not going to go there about the foods we eat, but just be mindful of the foods that you eat. Everything happens for a reason when we are ingesting these foods. But being mindful, being conscious, removing ourselves from the distractions, from the devices, and just be one with, be present in the moment with the food. Could you taste all the herbs that was prepared? Did you feel the different notes in the back of your palate? Okay, when you had something to drink, did you feel it going down, the esophagus going down to your stomach? That again is being in stillness to be able to receive the messages that you need to receive from the food.
Spirit is always talking, y'all, whether it's through your food, whether it's outside in the birds, the insects, the clouds, a feeling in your body, a cold chill. Spirit is always talking to you. God is always trying to get you a message through his intercessors or directly from himself. Right? What I hear you saying, Sean, is we got to slow down. We got to slow down.
We have to. You know, 2020, the pandemic, for me, it didn't affect me as such as for other people, right? Meaning that I spent alone time with myself all the time. It did not bother me. Even though I had my life partner, we're here in the house together, our children come, you know, whenever they come and all that stuff. It didn't bother me like a lot of people who, oh my God, we got to be in the house for so long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to sit down somewhere sometimes.
Yeah, you need to have several seats.
Have a seat. So when we think about messages, when we think about being sick, whether that's with a cold or the flu or whatever the case may be, your body had already warned you beforehand by giving these simple nudges. You need to slow down. Got a little something going on in the throat. Slow down. Maybe you're talking too much. Maybe you need to chill out. Oh, okay. You got a little ache. Like it's giving you alert. So when you finally have to sit it down, meaning you have the flu, the cold, whatever the case may be that took you out, not like to perish, but took you out to go ahead and just relax. Those were your messages that you just clearly missed because guess what? You was on the phone, you was out at the brunch, you was at the club, you was social. There's nothing wrong with that, but you don't have to do it all. And I think what it is dealing with boundaries of knowing, hey, you know what? We're going to skip this time around for this whatever event, right? So 2020 for me didn't affect me in the way that it affected a lot of people, meaning that they had to slow down. A lot of people that I do hear, that was their time understanding more about spirituality for themselves. Mm-hmm. A lot of awakenings were happening. So it had its time. If you think about 2020 with your eyes, being able to see things more clearly or hear things, the messages were there. And so when you think about that, as you said before, messages are always all around you, but y'all have to slow down for a minute. You can't do everything. It's okay to say no. As much as I know you want to probably go to this. It's okay. Catch the next one. Even when I think about driving, you know, a lot of people were, they want to hurry up and get to the said place, the destination. When the lights are red, it's for a reason. Now you can interpret it in your own way, but I interpreted that, okay, that's my spirit guides. Those are my ancestors. That's God, that's everybody, my whole team looking out for me because whatever is happening that I cannot see the next step right now, they having me to stop where I'm at. Everything's going to do whatever it's going to do before I get there. So when the light turns green, now my path is clear and made easy for me.
Mm-hmm. It's for your safety. It's for your benefit.
So. But a lot of people, they want to run through the light. They're in the rush. Then guess what? They get into an accident.
Mm-mm. So listen, for our final question, Sean, tell us, because I want to bring it back around to us finding our own uniqueness. And I feel like a lot of this conversation has been very connected to that, right? And so I want to know from you, when people pick up your book, what is the one thing that you want people to take away from your book? Finding you, your own uniqueness. What's the one takeaway that you want people to have?
It's okay to be you. And whatever you looks like, it's okay to be you. And you do not have to apologize for however you show up being you, your most authentic self, your own unique self. And it's okay. I mean, I can go on about it, but I think it's just that part right there. It's okay to be you.
And with that, y'all, that's going to take us out of here. So Sean, thank you so, so much for doing this episode with me. I appreciate your honesty, your transparency. I appreciate your authenticity and just your energy and your time. And I pray that this book, not only when you read it back yourself again, that when you out there in podcast land or YouTube land, you will be set free and you will be able to find your own uniqueness. Because like Sean said, it is okay to be you or you wouldn't be you. So listen, y'all, if you like this episode and you like these kinds of conversations, like, subscribe, share, You can also check out the description and the links there to connect with me. And last thing, Sean, let the people know where they can find your book and how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. So the book is on Amazon, and it's, as it states, Finding You, Your Own Uniqueness. If you're here in the DMV area, I would love to meet with you personally so I can sign your copy. So please feel free. So how you can reach out to me, email is universallighthouse1111@gmail.com. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram at Universal Lighthouse. Again, you can find the book on Amazon. And if you're in the DMV area, I would love to meet with you to sign your personal copy. And one other thing, I will be starting next month, First Fridays, Spirit had, see how Spirit speaks. When I was in the shower, Spirit laid the message to allow the collective to participate in a workshop, virtual workshop with the book, because the book is a self-care workbook, right? So it's 7 chapters. We're going to take 7 months. Starting September, we're going to go on a 30-day challenge, such as what the book is, but we're going to be meeting the first Friday of every month at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So again, follow me on those social media platforms so you can stay in the know. Thank you so much. Peace and blessing.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Thank you so much. And with that, you all, thank you for joining me, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Hey, and thanks so much for hanging in there with me all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value from today's episode and feel more empowered and more inspired than you did before. If you enjoyed this episode as much as I did doing it, then share it with somebody that might resonate with it. Also, I would really appreciate it if you could leave me a 5-star review to help me get the word out about the show. And if at any point you have questions or topics you want me to riff about, as you can see, I like to talk, then I invite you to get on my social media platforms and just message me. And if you're feeling the nudge to work with me, then check out my offerings on my website. Everything you need to connect with me is in the show notes. So until next time, be empowered.